It is perhaps fitting then that on this day where we celebrate the feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, that we also see in Scripture three women, the women of Exodus, who make a difference in salvation history. A heroic woman, a compassionate woman, a smart and courageous woman. Three women combined to open the door for the greatest events in Israel's history and for the ultimate salvation of the world. Moses' mother hid him for 3 months. She did that because there was an edict that Hebrew male children should be killed. Moses' sister stood watch over her tiny brother. She went to Pharaoh's daughter and proposed the idea of having a Hebrew woman nurse the child. And it was she who brought Moses' own mother to do just that. Pharaoh's daughter had the infant Moses brought to her. She took pity on the child, even though she knew it was under Pharaoh's curse. She even took him as her son. And finally, she is the one who gave him the name that is so familiar to us, Moses, Israel's great leader and redeemer from slavery. I am sad to report today that the men of today's Exodus reading don't look nearly as good as the women do. There's the Egyptian guard beating a Hebrew slave. There is Moses who kills the guard. There are two Hebrew men fighting each other who won't let Moses break it up, then report Moses to Pharaoh, who wants to kill Moses, who runs away in fear. This is clearly not a people, at least the men, not yet aware of their destiny, although the women do foreshadow its greatness. Fortunately, we have a God who redeems us through both the women and the men. Moses was under a curse for the crime of being born a Hebrew male, but Jesus proclaimed a curse on three Israelite towns for a different reason. Woe to you! Those are the words of a curse that Jesus directs at those cities. You had the opportunity to repent, he tells them, because you know God and have witnessed his deeds of power. Often, people like to quote Pope Francis out of context, saying, who am I to judge, as if it condones any kind of behavior. But our faith tells us that there will be a day of judgment, and that our actions or inaction will lead to judgment. Tyre, Sidon, and especially Sodom were Gentile cities of great corruption and immorality. They were already under judgment for that. So this comparison to the Israelite cities would have come as quite a shock to the people listening to Jesus. Even Capernaum, Jesus' home base, was headed for humiliation worse than for Sodom. We're used to technological miracles in our day, but such miracles only dazzle us temporarily, don't they? This becomes more and more true as we are capable of more and more special effects, fireworks and car chases. How long do we remember them? Even genuine miracles don't typically convert us. We still have to give our hearts. God's works of power in the Bible and in our lives open the door, but we still have to walk through that door. Jesus invites sinners to his kingdom. He invites us to that conversion, without which one cannot enter the kingdom. As he says in another place, there is joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. But the sinner, that's us, has to recognize his or her state and be able to pray, perhaps with today's psalmist, I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I sink in deep waters and the flood washes over me. My prayer is to you, O Lord. Let your salvation, O God, protect me. We are in the mud with our own sin. Judgment is upon us. That's the reality. It is said with great privilege comes great responsibility. With the great privilege of knowing Jesus and his saving power comes the great responsibility of responding to him. Those three Galilean towns had incentives to believe in Jesus that most will never have. What about us? We will likely find areas in our lives that are not fully surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Even though he is truly present among us, in his word, in his Eucharist, and in his church, to us much has been given, and so much will be required. Mount Carmel overlooks the place of the greatest of battles between good and evil. Queen Jezebel's 400 prophets of Baal on one side, and the lone prophet of the one true God, Elijah, on the other. But of course, that battle was really no contest for God, because after all, God is the God of spectacular victory. The Carmelites have made this place one of holy contemplation. They consider the Blessed Virgin Mary to be a perfect model of the interior life of prayer, as well as a model of virtue in the person of the one who was closest in life to Jesus Christ, his mother Mary, the greatest woman of Scripture. Carmel is the symbol of the life, a life wholly dedicated to the quest for God, in whom there is no condemnation for those who know the gift that they have been given and who respond and who turn to God.